Once again, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, who are keenly aware that dogs have owners and cats have staff.
This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest in the studio for this segment, Annie Carlson, who is the founder of MCACLT, which stands for Michigan Citizens Against Canine Long-Term Tethering. Welcome to the show, Annie.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I appreciate your putting up with my lovely singing voice this week.
I like it.
Well, I appreciate that. Annie, can you explain to our listeners exactly what it is that your organization does?
Yes. What we're trying to do is introduce a bill into legislation that would address the tethering issues for canines in the state of Michigan, the dog. Okay. Tethering issues.
Okay. And for those of us who may not know, what do you mean by tethering exactly?
Okay. Well, within the state of Michigan, it is acceptable to chain or tether a dog to a structure, a dog house, as long as the chain is three times the length of their body from the tip of the nose to their tip of their tail. They have food and water available, and there is usually the bedding would be straw that they recommend. There isn't any type of regulation as far as the temperature changes, severe weather warnings, things like that. And amazing enough, there are a lot of people that do chain their dogs 24/7 their entire life, which creates an aggressive dog.
Yeah, I don't know how that wouldn't, because the idea of not being able to really move around a lot, that seems like a high degree of confinement. And my biggest concern would be an animal choking itself.
Yes.
Because with that tether, as it sees things, it moves in that direction almost naturally. And I've seen it myself where my dog can get all tied up with his leash just walking down the street from going back and forth. So
exactly.
By being tethered with that small of a space, I don't know how they wouldn't.
And the laws that we are working from were in place back in what? 1931?
I believe so. They have improved some of the law as far as the language.
Okay.
There has been some protection as far as animal abuse.
Okay.
Severe neglect. So there are issues as far as that's concerned. But as far as the conditions that the animals are kept, that has not been changed.
And I think the big thing would be public consciousness. You know, what is the public consciousness back 50 years ago? What was it 30 years ago? What is it today? And what is it that we can do here on the radio show or within our law structure or within just general conversation on the street? What is it that we can do to change that concept so that we aren't necessarily committed to this tether idea? I would imagine there's a lot less people that tether now than there would have been 40 years ago? Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. When I started this, I was somewhat surprised to find out that this was still in existence. Mm-hmm. I don't see it a lot. Mm-hmm. When I addressed the issue and I started talking to other people, and then I did some research and found out that other states, California, I believe, was the first one to address the tethering and improve the laws. Put a time limit on the amount of tethering, mm-hmm. the length of the chain.
What are some of the things that you would like to see as kind of a change in what would be a small step and a large step? What would be a small step in the advancement of this idea of not having a 24/7 tether, and what would be a large step?
Well, I think a small step would just be to have some type of improvement on the conditions. If the weather gets extremely hot, extremely cold, the length of the chain, the weight of the chain, uh-huh. the conditions of the doghouse, you know, ideally, you know, my dogs live in the house,
sure.
but not everybody has their dog live inside. So, you know, even if you can have a fence or a kennel,
Right.
You know, that would be an improvement over what it is right now.
What's your position on, we have a lot of electronic fencing and such. I was listening to a commercial not long ago, and it kind of reminds me of the positive idea that the dog can freely run here to there and not be contained within a chain or whatnot. Do you have a position on that?
Well, you know, I think that's actually an excellent thing. We just put in an electronic fence, and I never thought I would do that. Uh-huh. And that's some issues. Interesting that you should say that, because yeah. I've had some people comment saying, well, then you're talking about not restraining a dog. Well, right. You're talking about if you take your dog outside, even if it's temporarily and you can't, if you don't have a fence, you know, walk the dog. Yeah. Put them on a chain for, sure. You know, a few hours if you need to, you know, so it's not to stop tethering.
Yeah.
I
could see, you know, where it does raise question to mind whenever
does.
You see a dog that's 24/7. I know my sister has a neighbor that's that, and it's just the parent's child left the house and now they're left with the dog, but the dog isn't really appreciated by the individuals that live there, so it stays out on a chain and it doesn't get much personal interaction. Yeah. Those are probably the circumstances that would probably be most aggravating to you, me,
well,
anyone next
door. Yeah, and that's the thing. When I started this, some of the comments that were coming back, and it's like, oh, you know, they live next door to somebody and they have to, you know, it's stressful on you as a dog owner, and you're responsible.
Sure.
And then you see your neighbor and they meet within the requirements of the law, there's nothing animal control officers can do.
Right.
And so they have to just basically, close their curtains and ignore the issue.
Sure.
You know, if you were to improve the laws.
Now, it's funny because, Rick, you and I were thinking the same thing, because I was thinking of the electronic collars, because we have had people who have expressed to us their dislike of that particular system. And one of our regular guests, Mike Morgan, has been on here and has said that he doesn't feel like electronic collars should be allowed to be sold without training behind them, because people don't know how to use them and can do damage to dogs with those as well. So I think what we're really getting into is the underlying issue, which is the proper training and keeping of animals. Uh-huh. Gets right back to our core mission, because bottom line is, when people know how to use various items, they make smart decisions. And if they don't, or they don't care, I think that's when we run into these issues of, I will just chain them, get them out of my way, without any thought for what it does for the people around you, the people walking down the street, because a lot of these new technologies are actually quite humane if used properly and trained properly. And that's where I'd imagine your mission really has to go, is educating people about these subjects and making them conscious of these subjects.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's... I think to a certain extent, we have to be humble in, that's why I say small steps. There are individuals that probably, for limited financial resources and such, putting them on a tether is kind of their only recourse. But like you say, the idea isn't that they can't be on a tether. It's just that they shouldn't be committed to that tether. It would be fine for an hour or two or for exercise, right?
Exactly.
But not as a full-time concept is what you're suggesting.
Annie, what led you down this path? How did you get started doing this?
Well, actually, I was on the west side of the state on New Year's Eve, and we pulled into a little party store, a little grocery store, and it was about 9 o'clock at night, and the temperature was probably, I think it was single digits, and we made a turnaround, and this dog was chained to a doghouse. I mean, it was kind of a dilapidated doghouse, and he was whining. Now, he was very long, furry coat, but all matted, with a bucket of water, and needless to say, I'm sure it was frozen. So I wrote down the address, and I was just thrilled, because I thought, well, I'm going to call, you know, non-emergency and tell them about this dog. So I had the deputy return the call, and since it was over New Year's, he called, I think it was the day after, and he said, you know, ma'am, I'm sorry to say that we've had many calls on this dog, and the owner knows, you know, what his limits are as far as what's required by the state. There's nothing that we can do. He said, this is not how I treat my dog, but this is acceptable. So that's what opened my eyes. And then
And now, is this something that you are full-time dedicated to, or is this just more of an advocation?
Yeah, I am very much full-time dedicated to this, but it's not myself. There are thousands of people that have joined onto this, and I think with that in mind, that tells me that there is definitely a need for a change, improvement. It's not just an issue within myself.
And if others were interested in joining you on this or other like-minded, I don't know what word to use, just actions to be able to take in order to improve the situation, how do people get in contact with you in order to do that?
Well, I've had people either contact me through my email address, or I have a Facebook page, which is Michigan Citizens Against Canine Long-Term Tethering.
Okay. And do you have an email address? Oh, okay. Well, it is actually a long one. Well, and what we can do is we can put it on our website so that people can link up right to it, because I just do imagine that there are a lot of other people sure. who share in this view of wanting to advocate yes. on behalf of these animals. And if you want to change the laws, folks, this is what it takes. You have to educate the public and take action and put your heart behind it. But with it, change can occur. And that's what it sounds like you're about. So I guess with that said, let's thank you for coming in. We've been talking this morning with Annie Carlson, who is the founder of Michigan Citizens Against Canine Long-Term Tethering. Thank you so much for coming in, Annie. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for hearing me.
Oh, it was our pleasure. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to continue the conversation and talk with Jill Fritz from the Humane Society of the United States right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. I've been a-